Praise the Lord once again, church. At the conclusion of this message, we're going to have a chance for, if you want to come down to the altar and pray, we're going to encourage you to do that. Also, we have Sister Autumn Lutzgraf, who's here tonight. She had asked me, she has a very, very urgent need, and at the conclusion of this service, when she comes down here to the altar call, she requested that if she could have some folks pray for her for this need. It's kind of what it's all about here, isn't it? Helping one another, praying for one another. We're going to get into this a little bit tonight. And also we have our Sisters Loving Sisters ministry that operates out of Park Street. We have a building there at 1421 South Park Street. And they're having a back-to-school event. I know that usually we have our Touch Twice clinic, and that has been postponed or canceled for this fall. But we usually have a back-to-school drive to collect crayons and school supplies and such. So if you would like to take and help, instead of in lieu of our Touch Twice clinic, we're going to be doing this at Park Street. They're right in the middle of the Leopold School neighborhood. There's a number of elementary schools around the Park Street area. And if you'd like to take and help with that, we'll be having some barrels out in the vestibule out there that we normally put school supplies in. And you can just put them in there. And instead of for Touch Twice, we're going to distribute them at our Park Street Sisters Love and Sisters ministry there. So if you could stand tonight, I want to get into this message. I want to preach tonight, kind of start off teaching. I think we're going to probably end up with some form of preaching by the time we're done, if that's all right with you. I want to read tonight from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want to preach on the topic, the title tonight, Time for a Change. Time for a Change. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong thereof, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies. It is written in the law of Moses that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. You may be seated tonight. I sound real loud up here. I don't know how I am out there. But time for a change. Change. People seem to have a love-hate relationship with change. They want things to change because if they didn't, things would become boring in their lives. And we've sat down so many times and we said, you know what, I'm ready for a change. But then when change begins to come, we begin to complain because we have to change. And we want things to stay the same because change brings about a level of uncertainty. And it is that uncertainty that we become truly afraid of. The things that we don't know is what frightens us. The things that we do know, we don't seem to have that much of an issue with, but it's the things we don't know. We're excited to get married. But what will married life really be like? We become excited if husband and wife, if the wife becomes pregnant and they're excited to have children, but how in the world are we going to raise our children? And how are we going to be able to take and handle all of this as far as raising children goes? And we may be excited about starting a new job. Maybe we have prayed about this for some time, that God would give us a new job, and we're excited about starting this new job. But then there's that level of fear of the change of something new. And we have to learn a new system. We're going to learn, have to meet new people and learn how to work with new people. And we're going to have to get up earlier perhaps and work perhaps maybe a little bit later. So all of these things, these changes. I'm excited here at Calvary Gospel Church that Calvary Gospel Church is growing, but we must ask ourselves as it grows, what will this growth require of me? So here we read of David. He's about to pass on from this life. He is giving his son Solomon a final charge. He's saying, son, listen to me and listen to me very carefully. As the seasons, they come and the seasons will go. We are only here on this earth for a short time, and I am about to go by the way of the earth. I am about to die. Do you understand? I want you, I challenge you to be strong in the Lord. Solomon, be strong, walk in his ways, keep his judgments, do not stray from the Lord, make every day count. You see, Israel is entering into a new season, they're entering into a new season of change. A new season will always bring about its challenges. A new season will expose its champions. And I must admit tonight, as far as seasons goes, we look at our seasons, we have spring, we have summer, we have fall, autumn, and then we have winter. Do you realize that Labor Day is just around the corner, and when we get to Labor Day, we're closer to Christmas than we are to Memorial Day? How many more days until Christmas, Brother Phil? You've always got this down. There's got to be an app right there you can get for me real quick. But fall is my favorite season. How many of you, fall is your favorite season? How many of you like spring? Summer? Winter? Some of you like them all. I like them all. How many more days till Christmas? 135 more days until Christmas. It's hard to believe that, isn't it? Then we put two more weeks behind us, and it's going to be even less. So I love fall. I enjoy the cool weather. I love that when it's the temperature begins to drop and you have to throw the extra comforter on the bed. And I just like the weight. How many of you, I love the weight of the comforter. I mean, you could just load them up, Brother James. I don't care in the winter, the summertime, turn the AC up and throw on a comforter. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? As I said, I just got back from my very first Man Up adventure in the Bighorn Mountains. And I didn't know quite what to expect. I've been out in the mountains before, but just driving through them in an air-conditioned Ford pickup truck owned by the Rossings. And I didn't quite know what to expect, and I didn't expect sleeping in a tent when it's 40 degrees outside. It rained, and then the rain changed to snow, and it gets cold. And you wake up in the middle of the night, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but most tents don't have potties in them. And the closest potty was up a dark road, and there's bears, and there's cougars, there's mountain lions, there's rattlesnakes, there's rabid coons, there's all kinds of wild animals. And as you walk along that trail up to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning in your pajamas with your Crocs on and your little bitty pen light trying to find the door to the outhouse, everything in the woods is staring at you. And I found myself turning around quickly to make sure nothing was following me. It was cold. It was brutal. But I loved it. Nothing like when it's cold, you sit around a nice fire at night and we cut our own wood up there. You didn't go down to Piggly Wiggly or to Quick Trip or to the PDQ and for $10 buy you 4 or 5 sticks of wood. No, we were lumberjacks. We cut our own wood right out of the forest. Chopped it up. We ate dirt, drank creek water. I'm just kidding. We had chicken on the grill, barbecue. What was that? That one night we had, it was in, what was that? Italian dressing marinade for 24 hours. Listen, man, we ate like, oh, you want to go? $219. It's well worth the trip. You can freeze. You can kill yourself climbing up mountains and climbing down mountains. But the fellowship is unbelievable. The preaching, the teaching that we received was incredible. And the view, it doesn't get any better than that. And but seasons change. The leaves on the trees within a few more weeks. I've already got some trees in my yard that the leaves are already beginning to change. And the beauty of God's creation begins to just explode in the fall of the year. And as the seasons of the year begin to change, so do the seasons of our lives as well. So even at those times, while things may be changing already, we may sense a need for other changes that need to take place in our lives. All of this is to recognize the different life events as they lead to different seasons within our lives. And some of us here today, we may be entering into a new season of life. And that season of life can also be a spiritual season, and it can be a natural season in our lives. Others of you may recognize or be recognizing that you need to make some changes in your life and thus enter into a new season. You see, you can't go from summer to fall and from fall to winter and winter to spring and spring back to summer without there being some kind of a change. This not only takes place in us ourselves as individuals, but also in churches and corporations as well. Changes have occurred here at Calvary Gospel Church, and it has not always been an easy change. And as we continue to move forward, it will not always be easy as well. We have a number of new church plants, and all the people that are involved in these endeavors, they are in a season of change. We have men and women that have taken the role as pastors in these church plants, and their lives and the lives of their family and their wives are going through a season of change. As we continue to grow, we're beginning to see some of the fruit of this new season of ministry. We have had opportunities to minister to new people. And as we go into this next year, we're looking at starting a fundraising campaign for our Family Life Center. And all of these various, we're looking to expand on our church plants as well. And we're going to face more opportunities to minister to new people. And while a new season of life for a church or as individuals can bring a freshness and an excitement, it can also bring about a level of fear. Today I received a text from my wife at work. About 12:15, she texted me, and at 12:30 she texted me and says, as of 5 o'clock today, I no longer have a job. So she walked out of Oscar Mayer after 42 years of employment today. I understand firsthand what seasons of change can be in the life of an individual. My wife and I are entering into a new season of our lives, and you may say, did this surprise you? I have been sensing for some time in the Spirit, and we've talked about this. I spent a lot of time last week praying as we were on the mountaintop. Spent a lot of time praying, and I felt that a season of change was coming. Not only for myself and my wife as individuals, but for many of you and for this church. So did it surprise me? No, it really didn't. It was surprised me. Maybe I didn't expect to be back just one day and it happened. I expected maybe by the end of the year something may transition, but as we sat around the fire in the Bighorn Mountains, we were asked by Brother Nathan Thompson the very first night as we introduced ourselves what we hoped to gain from this adventure. And I stated that I felt that we were in for a season of change. Not really sure as to when, but I asked God to help me enter into this season of change with a boldness and with a confidence. Little did I know that literally the day that I returned home, that season of change would begin in my household. So tonight, I want to give each and every one of you some information that you are able to take and use to help better equip you as we enter into this season of change. You see, Solomon was a man who had everything anyone could ever want, but became unsatisfied toward the end of his life. And we read in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and through 4, and then also in verse 11, as he reflects back on his life, and he says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. What Solomon is telling us in this passage is that when God created us and when God created life, he laid out a progression and created a season for all things. You see, life is full of contradictions. And why is life so full of contradictions? Because God purposely built transitions into our lives. Unfortunately, we may not have any control over what seasons that we will experience, what kind of storms that we may go through, we will face during these transitions, but we do have control of how we respond to those changes. You see, change should be managed, but not manipulated. So if you're taking notes tonight, you can start with change can be managed, but not manipulated. We need to learn to manage the changes in our lives and try not to manipulate the changes that God has planned for us. What helps us when we are in a season of change, we must ask ourselves this question: do I trust God? Do I trust God with my future, and do I trust God with my plan for me, including his timing? Remember, we just finished a series on finding God's will for our lives. What happens so often is that we say we trust God and his will, we trust God and his plan for our lives, but then we try to impose our own timing on the situation. What we really need to do is found in Ecclesiastes 7, verses 13 and 14. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the very day of prosperity, be joyful. But the day of adversary, consider God also hath set the one over against the other, so that the end that man should find nothing after him. So what we need to say is, accept the way that God does things. For who can straighten out what God had made crooked? Every prosperity, or enjoy prosperity while you can. But when hard times strike, realize that both of them can come from God. Solomon is writing this trying to urge us to accept the situation that we are in, not to try to change or avoid it. We can bring ourselves into harmony with God's will and God's plans, or we can fight his will and his plans, but we may not understand everything we go through. But remember, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. When we try to manipulate the things in our lives, we oftentimes miss out on what God has planned for us. Lois and I many times over the last months have said, why don't you just quit? It's very, very difficult. Our schedule is almost impossible at times because of the demands, and we live literally at times separate lives within our own household because my schedule is so different from hers, and it's like, why don't you just quit? And we've talked about it and talked about it, but something inside said, not right now. Not right now. Just wait a little bit longer. And as we began to wait a little bit longer, God had a plan. You see, she didn't just walk out of Oscar Mayer's with nothing but an empty lunchbox. She got a very generous severance pay. She got a bonus, her vacation days, and all of the things that we had no idea was in the works. But if we would have pushed and rushed God's timing, none of that would have happened. You see, God knew that she was going to lose that job either way. But we may miss out on what God has planned for us because the best place for us is to learn how to forgive. We need to learn humility, and in love is the classroom of change. Remember, there is a purpose for every process, and there is a reason for every season that we go through. Another point is, don't make permanent decisions based upon temporary conditions. Have you ever just felt like quitting? You ever just feel like saying, you know what? I'm tired. I'm done with this. I've never been challenged more physically in my life than over the last week, and I mean that from the very soles of my tired feet. But you see, Brother Scott, as we hiked up the mountain on the first day, and I began to grow tired, and I looked around and other men were growing tired, I realized that if I quit, maybe two or three other men would say, I can't do this. We will wait until you come back this direction. That seemed like a good idea. But there was something inside of me that says, quitting is not an option. I cannot take a permanent decision and base it on a temporary condition. The quitting is something that affects you permanently. And I was going to apply it to a temporary level of pain and discomfort. But Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Putting that into man-up terms, and be not weary in climbing up this mountain, Roy Howard Grant, for in due season you will experience a view of the Bighorns like you've never experienced in your life. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we may reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up at the right time. So when is the right time? When is that time? We don't know what time that is, but God does. As we follow his commandments, we will reap a harvest. So the first thing you should remember during seasons of change is to manage that change. Try not to manipulate it, and don't make permanent decisions based upon temporary conditions. And we need to focus on your faith. We need to focus on our faith, not our frustrations. Focus on your faith, not your frustrations. As they say, the toughest test is not of poverty, but that of prosperity. This saying calls attention to the fact that it is perhaps when we are very successful and comfortable that we are most vulnerable to forgetting our dependence upon God. I want to paraphrase Deuteronomy chapter 8. You don't have to put this up there, sister, but you shall remember all the ways of the Lord your God as he has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, that he will test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. This is Moses as he challenges the children of Israel. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and you have built good homes and you have lived in them, and when your flocks and your herds multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Notice what it says here. It says you will forget. It doesn't say you might. It doesn't say there's a possibility of. But God knowing the end from the beginning, God knowing the hearts of his people, God knowing your heart and my heart tonight, God says right here, be careful, Israel. You will forget the Lord when you become successful. If you feel like you've been wandering in your wilderness of life, maybe 40 years, I don't know. It is designed by God to draw you closer to him. You see, some people think that the very purpose in life is elusive or complacent or complicated, but it's really very, very simple. All we have to really do is to worship him. That's all we have to do, is to worship him. When things are bad, we worship him. When things are good, we worship him. When we're confused, we worship him. When we're frustrated, we worship him. When we don't understand what's going on around us, we worship him. When we're frustrated with the change in our lives, we worship him. All we have to do is simply worship him. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that worship God, to them that honor God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know that God has our best interest in mind. But how much do we trust him? How much do we trust him? And how much do we love him? You see, another thing we need to do is we need to be grateful rather than grumble. Write that one down. In Deuteronomy 1:2, chapter 1, verse 2, Moses says, I'm paraphrasing a bit of this, normally, it only takes 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was on the threshold of the Promised Land. It was the desert entry point to the Promised Land. It was a place where they sent the 12 spies to spy out the land. Some of you have been wandering around the desert for far too long, and we are now at the threshold of a promise. We are now at the threshold of change. This church, Calvary Gospel Church, we have reached our own Kadesh Barnea, and God is waiting for us to enter into a promised land of revival that he has promised us. On the 12th day, the children of Israel could have possessed the land, Bishop. 12 days gone from slavery to land occupiers. But instead, they made a fatal faith-killing mistake. Now understand something up to this point. I don't understand exactly how they arrive to this point. But for 11 days, they've had manna. They've had water coming out of a rock. They crossed the Red Sea. They were living in the wilderness. God is providing everything for them. And here they are, ready at Kadesh Barnea to cross over on the 12th day. And they begin to grumble and they begin to complain because they became ungrateful. Listen. If you're trying to be in charge of your life, if you're relying on your own intellect, your own talent and strength to get through life, you are making a huge, colossal mistake. You see, God loves it. God absolutely gets just, we tickle his innards. Kind of goes back a long way, doesn't it? We tickle his innards when we trust and obey God. He loves that. God loves it when you rely on him to take you through life's journeys. Understand, if we're following after his will, we are on his journey, and he loves it. When we say there's an obstacle, he knows there's an obstacle around the next corner. He knows that by 5 o'clock today, half of our income is gone. But God loves it because he's got an answer. If we don't grumble and complain and lift our hands and begin to worship him, that's what he loves. That's what he loves. God loves it when we rely on him. He rewards our faith. He will reward your faith. And the quicker that we trust and obey, the sooner we will begin to reap the benefit of his blessing. The longer we fight it, the longer it takes to get that blessing. If we could just get that through our heads. It's the principle. And we learned a little bit about this on the last hike, on the last day on the mountain. I'm calling it, it's the principle of accelerated blessings. God says, listen, if you have faith in me, if you trust me, if you obey me, if you worship me, I will accelerate the blessings that I have for you. We so often, we become impatient and we want God to do something for us right now, right now, right now, God, right now. You gotta help me right now. And if it doesn't happen, we begin to grumble and we begin to complain and we forget about God's purposes. And we simply just throw out God's timing. You see, God is moving you. God is moving us as a church into something new, a new and a fresh and a deeper relationship with him. I by no means am I taking and discrediting anything that we have had in the past. Everything, the path that this church is on is a process. It's a process. Understand that when this church was founded 70 plus years ago, a process began here in Madison, Wisconsin, and that process will not end until the trumpet sounds and the church is raptured out. So every decade, every season, we have gone through a season of processes, and God is saying, I am taking this church, I am taking you as an individual right now. We are going into a season, a process of change. God is saying, I want a more dynamic walk. I want you, Calvary Gospel Church, to have a more dynamic walk with me. I want you, Calvary Gospel Church, to start a new adventure in the Holy Ghost. I feel that as your pastor, as your God-appointed leader, that we are living in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you have stayed on this mountain long enough. It has served its purpose. Everything that you have learned on this mountain, you will take with you. It is time to break camp and to move on. If you haven't noticed as of yet, God is on the move here at Calvary Gospel Church. You have been on this mountain long enough. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've been trained by one of the best preachers and teachers in the whole entire United States and world, in our Bishop John W. Grant. You have all of the foundation that you will ever need, and you should prepare yourself for battle. You should be ready already for service in his kingdom. You should already have your black belt in spiritual warfare and know how to whoop the devil. You shouldn't be walking around with your chin on the ground having to have everybody pick you up. You know how to fight your own battle. Every one of us should be able to operate in the gifts that God has assigned to you. The gift that God has given to you is a gift that someone else here tonight is going to need and is going to be a lifesaver for them. So get off your backside and begin to take what God has applied in your life and begin to use it. Each one of us should be at a level of spiritual maturity in Jesus Christ that we're ready and we're prepared for the next move of God. And I want to ask you tonight, are you ready for God's next move into the next season of your life? And are you preparing for the changes that God is going to send your way? God is moving for us from where we have been camped out for so long into his promise. Church, it's time to break camp and it's time to move on. Verse 8 says, I'm giving you all this land. Everything across that river is yours, Calvary Gospel Church. I'm giving you this land from the end of the parking lot all the way to the other side of the county. Get in, go out, and occupy it. God is calling us to possess the land. What is the land he's calling us to possess? On a personal level, a right relationship with him. You need to possess a right relationship with him. Some of you can't get along with your spouses. Some of you fight constantly in your home. You need to cast that spirit out of your home. You need to get rid of it, and you need to form a right relationship with your spouse. You need the right relationship with your children. You need a right relationship with your church. Instead of gossiping about your brothers and sisters, you need to lift them up in prayer. You need to fast for them, not get on Facebook and text their problems. You need a right relationship with your work. It could be that God is calling you to occupy an ideal job, one that gives you adequate pay and benefits, job satisfaction, and all of this kind of stuff. Time to take off and serve God and your family. But because you can't get along with your relationship where you're at right now, God says, I'm not going to send that blessing yet until he learns how to get along with others. God may be calling you into a deeper prayer life, to greater effectiveness in sharing your faith, to higher levels of operation in your spiritual gifts. God may be calling you to a greater level of ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church. I want to say something as well. By the way, I believe that every ministry, every job, if we could put it that way, of ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church is vitally important to God. I don't care if you're making sausage, burning sausage, whatever you may like to do with sausage at our coffee house. It doesn't matter to me if you're making biscuits or if you're out working in outreach or if you're back there in the corner, Brother David Lance, taking up offering. It doesn't matter to me if you meet people in the parking lot and greet people or if you teach Sunday school or if you clean out toilet bowls. Every job here at Calvary Gospel Church is vitally important to the kingdom of God. And there's no job from the preacher to the janitor that's more important than anyone other. God has just given us different roles within his kingdom. God is calling us to a higher plane of maturity. He's taking us through a transition period where he is preparing us for a surge of souls that have been and will be at an unprecedented level. We have all of our ministries in place. We have well-trained staff. We have a powerful staff. We have a prayerful staff. We have a prepared staff. And the children of Israel made a good start. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19, "Then just as the Lord our God directed us, we left Mount Sinai." God said, "Leave this mountain." And they left it. Skipping to verse 20, "And I say to you, now you have reached the land that the Lord our God is giving us." Look, he's placed it right in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Moses is preaching to the children of Israel. He's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Listen, the children of Israel made a good start believing that God was now going to lead them into a promised land. What happened as they traveled? They had 11 days to think about it. They had time to think about, "I no longer have a job. We no longer have a particular amount of income." And they began when they were on the mountaintop, they were all pumped up and ready to go because God's going to supply every need. But as the days begin to wear on, they begin to think about it. They begin to think about as they came on the day 11 to the front door of the promised land, doubt had begun to creep in. How many of you have ever gone on a trip to a place where you've never been? And what do you think about when you're traveling to visit that place? I know for me, I'd been to the mountains, but I'd never been at this type of the mountains. I've driven over them, but I've never walked over them. And when I left here, I was all excited. Brother Jordan and I, our first night on the trip, we stopped right off the banks, right off the Missouri River. It's absolutely beautiful. And I wanted to have a nice special meal that night, so I bought filet mignon wrapped in bacon, and I had them all. It was good. We had a grill and we had some potato salad and with all the fixings and sat out there and there's a sunset and man, it was so good. Began to think about the food and I knew we weren't going to have filet mignon on the mountain, so I began to think about what it's going to be like with the camaraderie. I don't know very many of the guys that are going, but when you get there, it's nothing at all like perhaps you may have imagined. And I'm not sure that during the 11-day journey that the children of Israel really imagined what the promised land looked like, what their lives would be as they settled there. I'm sure that during that journey they began to think about their children playing around their new homes because they said they were going to be able to live in houses that they never built. And They imagine rich farmland with plenty of water for their flocks and their herds and begin to imagine something else as well. They thought of all of the blessings. They thought of all of the camaraderie and all of the great spiritual insight that we would gain. But I didn't imagine the fight with the flesh that I would have climbing up and down those mountains, Brother Scott. You see, they imagined that they might die in battle. I never thought I would die because we took our own EMT with us, and he had a bottle of oxygen that he carried up and down those mountains in case old guys, he literally did. In case old guys like myself needed to sit down and take a hit off of an oxygen bottle. I thought about it many times, but I did not want to be the first to have to do that. You see, they imagine that they may die in battle. They imagine that their children could be kidnapped by the heathen nations that lived there and sold as slaves. Over 11 days, their doubts and fears begin to multiply. So in spite of all of the great preaching and all the encouragement by Brother Moses, they hesitated to go directly in to the land of change. The land of promise. They refused to accept the changes that God had for them. So instead, they camped at the border. So in chapter 1, verse 22 of Deuteronomy, they sent out their scouts. But you responded first, let us send out scouts to explore the land for us. They will advise us as on the best route to take and decide which towns we should capture. You notice that they took and removed God right out of the equation. They didn't say, those scouts, that God should advise us on the best route, that God should decide which towns we captured. This seemed like a good idea to Moses, so he chose 12 scouts, one from each tribe, and they crossed into hills and valleys and began to explore it. You see, we as leaders, we can make the same mistakes. Moses, looking back on the incident, no doubt thought that maybe this perhaps is a good idea at the time. But you see, God was saying, Moses, that's a bad idea. You see, the problem here is when they quit relying on God in their faith and they begin to rely on their own wisdom. Instead of relying on God to tell them the best route to take and which towns to capture, they're relying on their own talent. And that becomes a most dangerous thing. Listen, church, we have made a great start. But let's not fall down at the border of our promise. Let's not fall down right on the border of the promises that God has given to us. It's a fact that we may hear demoralizing reports. We're going to be faced with fear of the unknown and with enemy. Every enemy that is in this city and in this county is going to suit up to fight us. But when the demoralizing reports came in, we've got to be like Joshua. And we've got to be like Caleb, and we've got to declare an unwavering faith that God is with us and we can take this land. Listen, church, I'm not saying it's not okay to be afraid of change. I'm not saying it's not okay to be afraid of the unknown, because God has wired us with the emotions, the fear, so that we would be respectful of things that can harm us. However, when we rely on our emotions over the word of God, God says that we begin to fall into the sin of faithlessness. They had their chance. They had their second chance, but they refused to trust and obey God. And they missed their opportunity, and they died in the desert because of their lack of faith. tonight, as our musicians come, you may be standing at the very door of your promised land. But for some reason, you have not stepped in. For some reason, you've refused to accept the changes that God has for you. Perhaps it's just simple fear. There's nothing wrong with that. It could be something else. I don't know, but God is calling you. As we stand to our feet, I want to challenge you. Will you answer God and step in to that change? Step in to His will. I know we talked for three messages, three sermons on the will of God. Some of you are being faced right now with a change in your life, and you're not liking it. Will you ignore the call of God? As God begins to do new things here at Calvary Gospel Church, sad to say, but some of you will not enter in because you will stay stopped at the border. You see, they were so used to the old wine, the old traditions, the old ways, that they wouldn't even want the fresh and the new wine of the Holy Spirit. They didn't want. They said the old ways are better. But God is saying, church, God is saying, you have stayed on this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. As a church, we're like the children of Israel. We're breaking camp, and we're beginning our journey toward the promised land of revival. I don't need to say anything else. I'm going to open up this altar for a time of prayer. Is it time for a change in your life? Church, God is moving. And we've got to move with God. We've got to move together. move together. We've got to move as brothers and sisters. We've got to help one another. We've got to lift up each other in prayer. We've got to trust God together. We've got to fight together. We've got to lose together. We've got to pray together. We've got to stay together.